She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And just remember, we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And I promise you, once again, we are going to give you lots to think about. Thank you so much for joining us today. We actually have a return guest. Her name is Kate Lewis. She is from the USDA Bio Preferred Program. And we had her on in August. She has had lots of really exciting things going on within that program. And Kate is going to share it with us, which I think is incredibly wonderful. More details. Kate, thanks for being with us again.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. I love that. And I just have a couple of quick announcements. I think you're familiar with the format of the show. This show is brought to you in part by Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona, where their business truly is changing lives, and changing lives they do. This is Halloween weekend, so people are flocking to Goodwill for doing the good green thing and getting their costumes there. And from where I sit, it's so much more fun to be creative and not go to one of these, you know, big box stores that are just open for the Halloween season. So go to Goodwill and know that you'll find awesome things and you'll be supporting an unbelievably great program. Just remember to join me every Saturday live at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. And friendly reminder, you can listen on your iPhone or Droid. We're trying to make that as easy as possible. If you have an iPhone, it's just so easy. You go to iTunes and there I am. But if you have a Droid, there are a couple more steps. And if you miss the show, we are always there within a couple of days with the podcast available. And stay connected with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, and YouTube so that you can be aware of great guests that I get to have like Kate Lewis, and I so mean that. I also want to do a little shout-out again for EcoBella. When I had Kate on last time, it's a company she is familiar with. And if this is your first time listening to Mrs. Green, welcome. If it isn't, just remember that this is all made possible through the support of wonderful sponsorships. And EcoBella is a sponsor and a partner. And I have checked out their products or I wouldn't be doing this shout out. And we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And what I'd like you to think about is how important everything is that you put on your body that might contain harmful chemicals. If you choose a company like EcoBella, you don't have to worry. And I literally mean you don't have to read another label. So I'm excited to have them as a partner. I'm more committed than I have ever been to international companies like EcoBella, who truly engage in the highest level of business practices in their sourcing of ingredients, how they operate as a company. So check them out at www.ecobella, and I always have to say it's got two C's, ECCO, and let me know what you think. You can even mention Mrs. Green or email me to get a special code, and you might get a special surprise if you do that. So, Kate, let's get on with the show because there is so much to this program, and it's making such a difference for the companies with which you are already working, and the word is spreading. And I think the best way to start out is just giving us Bio Preferred Program 101 so people understand what it is.
I'd be happy to do that. Thank you, Mrs. Green. I'm really pleased to be back and for my second go round and share some updated information about what the heck are bio-based products and what's in it for me, for your listeners. As you said, I work on a program that is run by the U.S. Department of Agriculture called BioPreferred. And it was a program that was started about 10 years ago, and it's unlike many government programs, although I have to be careful here, its mission and its focus was very specific. It was Congress appointed the Department of Agriculture some money to increase the purchase and use of bio-based products, which 10 years ago really weren't known very much at all, just what was a bio-based product. There were mainly industrial products like lubricants and oils. And in the 10 years since, obviously different markets have you know, been initiated and grown and developed. But the original BioPreferred program started in 2004 was designed to be a bio-based product purchasing program for the federal government. So it was run by a federal government agency, and this agency, USDA, was asked to help other federal government agencies and the Department of Defense increase their purchase and increase their specification, purchase, and use of these bio-based products. Like I said, 10 years ago, they were mainly industrial products, and even now, people can still be unfamiliar with what a bio-based product is, and our agency's definition is a bio-based product. You may interact with them, use them, drink from them, have them in your home every day. They're products, and increasingly the packaging that surrounds the products that are made from a significant amount of renewable agricultural or biological products. So the product or the packaging is made from a plant fiber or a plant oil, animal or marine materials or forestry materials.
Right, or some type of renewable plant or something like that. So it's just healthy. It's just good. It's like, and I don't think most people do know what bio-based means. And I don't even think it registered with me last time that it started 10 years ago. We're talking about early adopters, talking about people with vision that started this, and it's still going and going stronger. Okay, that gives me a good perspective. I think our listeners will understand. So in terms of the program, I did my research, and from the information you gave me, it's actually made up of two parts. You want to go into that a little bit so people understand what the two parts are?
Sure, I would be pleased to. Yeah, the first part of BioPreferred is this federal government preferred purchasing initiative where our staff reaches out to federal agencies and the staff at those agencies that implement contracts. It's everything that the federal government does. We buy our service and our products through contract mechanisms.
Right.
And so one part of BioPreferred still continues to focus on influencing that amount of government spend, that amount of money that our federal government spends on these products or on conventional products,
right,
and
right.
tries to tip it more towards bio-based materials. The second part of the program, which was initiated after I came to USDA 3 years ago, is, and one reason why we think that consumers and businesses are starting to be more familiar with these products, is a consumer-focused labeling program. So it's now possible for manufacturers who make bio-based products, and there's about 25,000 of them currently on the market, again, sold in a variety of sectors, industrial products, they're products that are made by companies that are sold to other companies to use, and there's products that are definitely more consumer-facing that your listeners, your probably typical listener, would want to go into either a boutique or a merchant or a mass merchandise and find these types of products on the shelves as well. Now, since mid-2011, it's possible for these consumers to see these products carry a label. It's what we like to think is a very unique interesting seal or label on the products or on the packaging that declare them USDA certified bio-based. And then the bio-based percentage of bio-based content that's in the product is actually listed on the label as well.
I love that. So the label, it is really very a catchy label, makes me want to know what it is. So if a product had 62%, it would say that. So depending upon the application process and the partnership, you would that product part would change on percentages based on who was getting the approval. Is that accurate?
Yes, the label that is granted to the manufacturers who test their products is specific to the products tested bio-based content. And there's a standard test method that's used throughout the world to determine bio-based content of a product. And those test results are actually put on the label. It's a difficult proposition to develop some kind of a mark that's backed by the U.S. government. There are other marks like this, like the Organic Program has an organic seal, or the Energy Star mark. You know, if your listeners are familiar with those and have seen those in advertisements or on products, it's a postage size, you know, a postage stamp sized real estate.
And so, I know we're going to talk about it more later on in the show, because you have a lot of really good information that I happen to agree with. Maybe that's why I think it's good information about what the consumer is looking for and statistics to support that, which jive with everything that I see. But let's, you know, I have the whirling dervish brain going on, but let's talk about if a company finds you, there's obviously a certification process. Can you just give us a little bit more information and detail about what someone can expect if they're listening and they want their company to go through it? Or what does it look like to the business that says, I get it, I want to trade, you know, to brand myself with this program? What do they have to do, Kate?
Yeah, that's a great question. If any of your listeners work for small, medium, or large companies, I just want to take a minute to emphasize, we've had a lot of companies that work with us on implementing this program. It's not brought to you by USDA. We provide oversight and management, but really where the rubber meets the road in terms is these grassroots efforts made by these companies. Some are very small companies, entrepreneurships, to global companies you know, that have a corporate brand and a global presence that are making these investments in these types of products too. So since we launched certification a year and a half ago, again, that's the second part of the second part of the program.
Right.
We've worked with about several hundred manufacturers and have certified over 800 products in about 100 different categories.
And I think that's really impressive. I mean, I really do. I don't think that's a small number, and I love that it's small, medium, and large, because it's going to take all of those. So I think that's really encouraging.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We work hard, you know, at USDA. We're a small program with a small budget, and the feedback we've gotten from stakeholders, from these companies that we work with, and we work with buyers, and increasingly we're working with distribution channels like retailers, and they've said, you know, what's really impressive is that this is a low-dollar program that's providing a tremendous amount of return.
It's really
low-dollar, high return.
And right.
That is a great compliment for me and our staff to receive, because we really are trying to move this certification and label on these products forward. And we recognize that it's a tool. It can be a tool for manufacturers to use, and it's an information tool for consumers to use. And it's been really fulfilling to move at the speed of business and understand what it takes to bring something like this out into the market. And you asked about the process. Whether a company is small, medium, or large, they follow the same process for certification. Just, I'm going to top line the process. It's about, if you have a really incentivized company that kind of sticks with the process, there's several steps that make up the certification process. Really incentivized company that sticks with it step by step. The typical time it takes to receive certification is about 2 months. The applicant applies through our website, which is www.biopreferred.gov. The application process is web-based, and it's paperless. And so there's just data that's exchanged and goes back and forth between our partners. There's no fee to apply. And we can't charge a fee, USDA. We don't have the authority to charge a fee for the certification.
Right.
And right now, I don't think that's going to be necessary. It hasn't been necessary in the past year and a half. But the participant or the applicant does have to pay fees for the testing of the bio-based products. Every manufacturer or certification applicant is responsible for paying those fees. The data moves, the tests happen, they get quality checked and analyzed by a third-party certification agent. We work with a company that's an international nonprofit called ASTM International. They provide product standards and certifications, and then the manufacturer is notified.
So they have to, this is to me like a very comprehensive look at a product, and I getting my head around it. So they have to support documentation, provide documentation to you that talks about their claims about the environment, human health impact, the life cycle cost, which I thought was really, really great because I watched a couple of films lately about planned obsolescence. So you want to make sure that that's included, the life cycle cost, the sustainability benefits, the performance of the product. And that's, of course, all from information that you provided me. But then what? Give me an example of testing the product. Can you just pick one and what that test would look like? I mean, I understand it if it's a skincare product, but what about if it's a solar company, for example? How do you, because we're talking a range of products here that's yeah. that's trying to fit into a, you know, like a boilerplate process that's, you know, equitable, but what a range.
That is a very interesting and incremental question that we have wrestled with, Mrs. Green. It's part of the certification protocol mandates or necessitates that every product, regardless of product type, is tested and sampled. You know, the manufacturer has to provide a sample to the laboratory to undergo the test. That all has to be done in the exact same way.
Oh my gosh.
Whether it is a consumer product like a lotion or skincare, or a commercial product like a back sheet for a solar panel. We've just been able to work with our partners, the certification entity and the lab, to, and I really credit the laboratories that are doing the bio-based content testing, because they're the ones where the testing and the sampling, that's really in their sweet spot. But we've been able to just develop some parameters that ensure that consistency. Now, there are some things that we can't test, and this is a real-life example that illustrates the point, but I think it's also very interesting. We got a certification 2 weeks ago from a company outside the United States that wants to certify their bicycle seat, a bike saddle.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
And it's kudos to them. They're actually looking at this component of a bicycle, which is actually made up of several different components. And in this specific case, it's just simply not eligible for certification from our program because it is multi-componented. There's too many parts that make up this complete, and we really have no way of determining the overall bio-based content using the existing test method just because there are limitations. But again, this is an example where you have a small team of folks that's looking at every single application that comes through, and it's a nice mix of personal attention and utilizing the efficiency of technology.
And at some level, it's got to be very satisfying that they heard about you and that they were interested enough in submitting an application. I mean, we're talking never a dull moment here at the USDA Bio Preferred Program. I bet that was creating a little buzz.
It is very fulfilling because it's not like we have the budget to be flying all over the world talking about this initiative. It's fairly new. You know, our strategy in terms of bringing the initiative to our stakeholders, the manufacturers who want to use the certification and label, has been to align with associations or industry organizations that really have an incentive to bring this information to their members.
Right.
And it's just been very fulfilling, and I've been very buoyed by the amount of work that all of these partners are beginning to do in the investments they're beginning to make in defense of, to try and kick off this bioeconomy.
Taking a stand for it. I love it. Now, let me ask you this. For a company, just go back to the label a little bit. Does there have to be a minimum percentage of the product, like this one, the example that you sent me on the copy, product 57%? Does there have to be a minimum for them to meet the certification standards to qualify as a bio-based product? Like what if they had 3% or like can they say 4% or is there a minimum?
There is a minimum to be eligible for bio-based products to be eligible for certification and labeling. That minimum depends.
It
varies. The floor level, and certainly it could be that we set a minimum bio-based product content level for different product categories, and that's a floor level. Manufacturers just have to be able to meet that. They can certainly formulate products whose bio-based contents are above that. But, yeah, there's not one floor level. There's a number of different minimums depending on the product category.
And given the diversity of the things you're certifying, to me that makes absolute perfect sense because not everything is going to be able to fit and qualify for the same standards. And as a consumer, and as the tagline of my show supports, just tell me the information because I can think and then I can make the decision. And just seeing that label, when we come back from the break, we'll talk more about the consumer and where the consumer is because it's fascinating to me just in the past almost 5 years in my journey of Mrs. Green. But that makes perfect sense because you have to look at these things on an individual basis. So you got the little heads up there. I want to let everybody know we have about a minute left before we go to break. If you just tuned in, we're having a fascinating, time is really flying conversation with Kate Lewis from the USDA Bio Preferred Program. And the goal of this program is to increase the purchase and use of bio-based products through the initiatives that we spoke about. When we come back, we're going to talk about where's the consumer, the really good news about the big company that's on board that's going to help shape consumer perceptions. So please stay here with me. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, MrsGreensWorld.com. We'll be right back. Stay here with me.
Can you predict the future? The reality is we can't, but we can be ready for it. Funded by the National Science Foundation, researchers at the University of Arizona are working on a $3 million project to study the monsoon and learn about our changing desert weather, climate, and ecology. Such knowledge will help guide us to a more sustainable future, not just for our desert, but for the world. Now that's thinking ahead. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Hi, I'm Abbott Taylor. With over 35 years creating jewelry in Tucson, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Please come in and see some of the thousands of designs we have created, or come in and have us design something original just for you. Whether you're looking for a simple and stylish graduation gift, your engagement ring, or a breathtaking jewelry piece to celebrate an important birthday or anniversary, you can't beat our competitive diamond pricing. With 100% trade-up guaranteed, set in an Abbott Taylor jewelry design, always using earth-friendly recycled gold. Abbott Taylor Jewelers, exquisite jewelry designs and exceptional diamond deals created right here in Tucson for over 35 years. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Hi, this is Mrs. Green with some great news about the all-new 2012 VW Passat. It's 2012 Motor Trend Car of the Year, best in class for legroom, and has standard Bluetooth technology. VW thought of everything by giving the Passat a brand new sleek design that conveys confidence and assertiveness. If you're looking for the best ownership experience possible and a great new Passat, visit Chapman Tucson at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan.
You can always find things around the house to give to Goodwill. But I have a bigger reason to give. My brother, Jim. When Jim was just 6 weeks old, he had a stroke. He had to rewire his brain to do most things we all take for granted. Thanks to Goodwill, Jim has a job and a sense of purpose. You know how they say your donation to Goodwill changes lives? Well, it's true. Goodwill is the best thing that ever happened to Jim. Please donate today.
Welcome back, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, giving you lots to think about today. We are so grateful to have Kate Lewis from the USDA BioPreferred Program as our returning guest for Mrs. Green's World. And Kate, thank you so much for saying yes to being on again. And we will get on to the news, but I think what you sent me, I loved about the new study that shows Americans are unaware of bio-based product certification. I'm sure that did not surprise you, but the background that you provided me, you know, like I said, maybe it affirmed me because I so agree with it. But talk about Americans and what their perceptions are and what they're looking for in terms of sustainable products.
Oh, wow. That's certainly been a topic of great discussion, particularly recently, because there has been a lot of conversation about whether Americans have kind of green fatigue and, gosh, are they just being presented with too much information? But, you know, Mrs. Green, I think what we're seeing now in terms of available products for you and I, we go to the store, okay? We have a mission. We have a need. And certainly we're seeing American consumers' temperature for green or sustainable products has gone up. You know, their awareness has gone up. In the past several years, a number of studies have shown, especially the most recent market research that was done by one of our companies that are working in our program, and I so appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. But yeah, I mean, Seventh Generation, which is a brand owner, it's a leading brand of household and personal care products. The company's been around for 20, 25 years. They're privately held. And they, you started the show by talking about companies like Seventh Generation and Ecobella. These are companies that are doing good by doing well. You know, they really look at their business practices as you know, they live what they profess.
They really do, and it's so important because of people's fear of greenwashing. And I think it's getting better and better and better, and those fears are being assuaged. So, and Seventh Generation, like, people have to have heard of Seventh Generation. It's a major, major supplier and a brand that, to me, is right up there with the big name brands.
Sure. Yeah. Even though it's very different from the big name brands in that it's a privately held company. But
yes.
Bottom line, they initiated. So here's a company using their own resources. They initiated kind of a comprehensive research at the end of the summer that showed that about 70% of us say that we're shopping for green products on a regular basis. Yeah, we are. You know, because they're starting to be more available at the places that we shop. We've maybe had an early trial of a green or sustainable product and found that it's worked. And that's really key, because if it works, you're likely to try it again. If it doesn't work, if the performance isn't there, not only are you lost from that manufacturer's product as a consumer, you know, we know what we do when we kind of go on a limb and try something and in a different category and it doesn't work. Well, they've lost us, you know, oh, all these green products must not work. So these Americans are shopping for green or sustainable products on a regular basis, but a lot, and that number continues to rise, again, because the product's price is coming down, their performance is starting to become on par, you know, equal if not better than conventional products, and the availability is there.
And the awareness, I think the awareness is changing too. It's not fringe. When you say 70%, we're not talking fringe, and I couldn't agree with you more about your assertion, which we've been through in this household. If you get a laundry detergent and it doesn't get your clothes clean, you go back to what you know, unless you're Mrs. Green, because you know you have to do the right thing, and you just keep trying until you find one that works. So go ahead. I just wanted to add that mainstream perspective from a consumer.
Yeah, and not all consumers are as motivated as maybe Mrs. Green and me,
Mrs. Lewis,
because
right.
because first trial doesn't go well, you're gone.
Right,
again,
right.
it's there's a lot to the science of shopping, which I'm sure you'll have another just as enlightening guest on in the future to talk about. But bottom line, while this awareness is growing, American consumers are looking for green or sustainable products. Not a lot of consumers truly understand what makes a product green or sustainable. And even fewer consumers, this is what Seventh Generation study showed, that more than 70% of the consumers in their study had no idea that in many of the common products that they buy, there's petroleum in them. There's oil.
And people don't want that, and they don't know it. It's like, this is a petroleum-based product, and I'm putting it all over my baby? That is not a good thought. No idea.
Yeah. In addition to highlighting the lack of understanding about petroleum, the study also brought to light that Americans are concerned about this issue, you know, petroleum or potentially harmful chemicals in their cleaning and personal care and laundry products, and as you mentioned, baby care products. And these are consumers that are just run-of-the-mill consumers that they polled about this, and the results that they got back tipped upwards of 60% were either concerned or very concerned about these issues. So there you go. That sets up the problem, or you know what we who are you know what those of us who are kind of working for different you know solution in the future view as okay the opportunity. So what's the solution? Well, our certification and label isn't the comprehensive solution, but it's a little thing that we can do to make this information available to consumers. Now, earlier in the show, we mentioned that a bio-based product is one that's made from a renewable agricultural material, a plant-based material, a forestry-based material. And bio-based is actually a measurement of the carbon that material has in it, and carbon relative to the total product's carbon. And so a bio-based product, in many cases, what these companies and manufacturers are doing is that they're substituting the petroleum or the oil, which has old carbon in it, with a renewable agricultural material, which is a source of newer carbon.
Right.
And so in that way, you know, bio-based products, while they're not comprehensively, you can't say in all cases, they're better for the environment.
Right,
They do reduce petroleum consumption because, again, they are increasing our nation's use of renewable resources. Through this kind of swapping process, we are better able to manage the carbon cycle. And these products may contribute to reducing adverse environmental and health impacts. These products, just because they're bio-based, aren't comprehensively better for the environment. That's a really sophisticated analysis one needs to do that. And certainly consumers at retail, at the shelf side, aren't in a position to do that sophisticated environmental analysis. But this is just kind of one step that's hopefully on a journey that where these products are, you know, available to us as consumers, are coming at a lesser environmental price.
And you know, I'm taking a really just a part of what you said that I find is so interesting in this journey. The great leveler that absolutely ends all polarization in the discussions around the environment is the common ground when you say, well, it reduces our dependency on foreign oil. There's no, you know, there's no disagreement. It doesn't polarize people. It doesn't get into a political conversation. So I, of course, think that is so wise. And let's go back a little bit to the consumer, because I know that you know a lot about the consumer, and I know that you do your homework. And we'll bring up our mutual friend, Jackie Ottman, which I think we talked about on the last show. She's the one that said, you have to have Kate Lewis on your show. She is my Yoda. She is the green guru. We're having her on the show in December. But she came to our city right when Mrs. Green got started. And I will never forget this because it was shocking to me. And we'd had a Green Media Alliance meeting, and we sold that out. We put it together. Businesses came. We had over 500 people for our first time out of the shoot. And when someone asked her what is the number one reason why people will make a greener or more sustainable choice, she said health. They care about their health, their own health, the health of their families, the health of their children. And your research addresses that. I mean, people really do care. I want to be healthy. I don't want this to give me a rash. I know I'm inhaling toxins. Help me get rid of them. So I just, you know, it's kind of more like a major kudos shout out for the approach that you're taking in moving the needle forward. Okay, that being said, let's go through, do you want to say anything else about the consumer and what you're, where you're seeing where the consumer is?
Well, you know, as a result of this work that was done by Seventh Generation, I have to give them, kudos. I'm tremendously grateful and respectful of, you know, their company ethic, their long history. You know, they've not just kind of investigated bio-based recently. This is a company that has made a fundamental corporate decision to formulating their products this way for years. It's as much a part of their company DNA as is the platforms that they're very vocal about, you know, socially. And I'm very grateful to them for, as I said, the investment, because this is a business who has said, okay, this is meaningful to us. This is a part of our corporate DNA. We're going to align with this movement to help spur the bioeconomy. And as a result of, and I think they've just been so smart about how they've gone about it. They understand their core consumer. They're trying to always grow their core consumer. That's how businesses like Seventh Generation make money and continue to be profitable. And they're bringing what I think is obviously a very solid group of products to the market that are really innovative. And I think consumers would appreciate. You know, this is a company that has several dozen, about 70 certified bio-based products. They were one of the first companies to work with us and say, yes, we want to join you. But it's not just them. It's not just companies like Seventh Generation. There are other companies that sell these products into the industrial market, and you mentioned Goodwill Industries. There's organizations and manufacturers who specialize in selling products to the government. And some of them do it in really unique ways. There's a company, an organization called Ability One, and it is a program from the National Industries for the Blind. And NIB is a very large organization that works locally on levels. They partner with service agencies. You may have Arizona Industries for the Blind or something like that. And this is like a network of organizations that exist to manufacture products. In some cases, the service agency, which is staffed by blind or disabled individuals who want to work and who can work and really make a substantive contribution. And so these service agencies employ dozens, if not hundreds, of these individuals who are usually adding value to the product. They might be merchandising it or packaging it in a different way. They're not making the product, but they're changing the product in a way that it can be sold to a buyer the way the buyer wants to. So it's just an example of how many different distribution channels bio-based products can touch.
And this is massive. I love the way that you categorized some of these examples. So the Ability One Network I found fascinating, and that's a business-to-government case study that you said. So people understand it. It's a brand of cleaning products, if I'm correct, and they are going through your process, but they're massive suppliers.
That's exactly it.
You know what I mean? So there's a big impact to have a really good green certified hand sanitizer in all the restrooms that we go in all over the place. So that's
exactly that is exactly what they're doing. They're taking a product in the consumer market, like a Purell. Most of us are familiar with Purell.
We get
more familiar with it in the winter months. I know it's getting to be winter here in the Northeast, where it's everywhere. It's in banks and restaurants and And what Ability One does is it works with its, again, partner service agencies in states all over the country, putting to work people that are blind or severely disabled, but who want to work and who can work, and to provide this service of kind of repackaging or re-merchandising the products for a federal buyer who needs them in a particular way.
And it's just, I love the analogy to Goodwill. I mean, I mean it when I say that. I wear dresses and gets my picture taken. My family, we're all Goodwill supporters. And I just used to think of it as a retail store, not this whole cradle-to-cradle concept of hiring, you know, people with Down syndrome and other mentally challenged diagnosis. People don't know that. They have back-to-work programs. I mean, it's such an exciting thing to raise as a consciousness for people to understand. When you go to Goodwill, you're not just getting a gonga deal on some really neat stuff. You're supporting programs that end up saving taxpayers money. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. These people would be on some type of disability, and their quality of life is so much better. When I take tours of Goodwill, it stays with me for weeks and months, because I see, you know, action of the whole sustainable community concept. I love it. We're going to have to do this. You know, I make jokes about it. We have to take breaks. I honor my sponsors that do put things in there. But when we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little more about Seventh Generation, because they are so big, and what types of products. And then you gave me an example of BioSolar, which is more of a B2B process. And then we need to talk again about how you're getting the word out, what we can do to help support you, because I think there's a lot of exciting information here. And for the consumers, which we all are listening, to know, to be looking for the seal, to me, is another important part. Okay, we'll be right back. That's a mouthful. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Our guest is Kate Lewis, USDA Biopreferred Program. Please stay here with me.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green. Did you know that the 2012 VW Beetle has been completely redesigned, that it has exciting new features, look, and performance, and that it is one of Oprah's best things for 2012? The best news is Chapman VW has them in stock. Check out the new Beetle at Chapman VW at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan, or visit them at TucsonVW.com. Be sure to tell them that Mrs. Green sent you.
Can academic research really save the planet? This year, the University of Arizona took full ownership of Biosphere 2. With 5 ecosystems enclosed in over 7 million cubic feet of sealed glass, Biosphere 2 is a premier facility for environmental research, where the top minds in the world will come together to address some of humanity's greatest challenges, such as climate change. Now that's using your brains. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
You can save hundreds on home improvement by checking out Habitat for Humanity's Havistore. The Havistore sells new and gently used home improvement items for pennies on the dollar. You can find cabinets, doors, windows, light fixtures, furniture, and much more. Plus, our inventory is constantly changing. You'll be saving money, and all the profits go to Habitat for Humanity Tucson, helping to build a better community. The Havistore is located at 935 West Grant Road. You can reach us at 520-889-7200 or habitattucson.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, We just want you to. And if you are listening, I am sure that Kate Lewis from the USDA BioPreferred program is really giving us a lot of quality things to think about. Kate, so much, thank you so much for taking your time to be on again and giving us even more exciting and such relevant information for the planet, for us as consumers, for us as citizens wanting to show up and do the right thing. So let's talk a little bit. The thing that I like to do is give an example of one of the things that seventh generation, for example, their new laundry detergent. Who doesn't use laundry detergent? Like, if you don't, I really probably don't even want to know. But it is groundbreaking, and they worked to find something new in soil removal that isn't devastating to the environment and our water supply.
I'm so glad you asked about that, because this is a result of folks that have been working at Seventh Generation and many other companies across the world, and definitely in our country, on product development. And these are the product chemists that are in their offices and in labs and in rooms, and it's an unglorious job. I'm so happy to have you ask about that, because we didn't even plan that.
It was like, this is fascinating to me, and so
well. That's your skill, Mrs.
So
Green. You focus like a laser on key elements of information,
and thank you for that.
Then you get your guests to just engage in a conversation with you and your listeners that hopefully makes that unique aspect, which is really incremental and really scientific, kind of inspiring and enlightening to all of us. But yes, these folks at Seventh Generation, the product development staff, the chemists in the labs, have worked with a supplier and basically reformulated a key ingredient in soil removal for their laundry detergent. It's called a surfactant, and there's surfactants in all laundry detergents, and they're usually made up of, it's a specialty chemical that's made up of petroleum. And as I said, it's a key ingredient in soil removal, that property of laundry detergent. So together with their supplier, it's a company called Rodea. Most of your listeners, I wasn't familiar with Rodea.
Right.
I am not familiar with it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They worked with product development folks at Seventh Generation to come up with this surfactant by combining a compound called ethylene oxide. And ethylene oxide comes from sugar cane. And they combined ethylene oxide and plant-derived lauryl alcohol and developed this new surfactant. And this surfactant, unlike conventional surfactants, has no petroleum. It has 100% renewable carbon. Remember, earlier in the show, I kind of talked about old carbon that comes from oil and new carbon that comes from sort of more rapidly renewable agricultural ingredients like plants. And they've basically developed a new ingredient, which can be a supply ingredient for companies all across the globe. And that's a real specific incremental look at the power of the science of plant-based ingredients.
And of companies that are committed to looking for these things and working it until they do. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I had Amy... the accent's on the first syllable. So Kalafa from Two Angry Moms. She's a filmmaker. And when I read your research about this, you know, business-to-consumer case study and about the surfactant, she ties so many of the increases in childhood diagnosis and diseases and on to all of this. So I know it's a stretch, and I have no research to base it on, but we have no idea what's making our kids so sick. We're getting answers. But to me, hats off to Seventh Generation for eliminating one possibility, because what you put on your clothes and wash, it doesn't all rinse out. And it can cause rashes. It can be absorbed by the skin. I mean, you know all this stuff, and I really get it. Okay, let's go on to the BioSolar Inc., which is more of a B2B case study, which also I think is quite intriguing.
I agree as well, because it's a similar innovation, but for a different product in a completely different market. can we just put a pin in the seventh generation
information? I don't want to pivot off them
without, and we can definitely use this and close it out, because biosolar is just as unique and inspirational as well. So seventh generation throughout their company has taken these nuggets of information, and then they've combined them with the consumer research that they did. So bottom line, what this big thing that's going on, and again, me, this little federal employee, so grateful to these companies, you know, for making these investments.
Let's just put it into the phrase of like David and Goliath, okay? So you're
exactly.
there, David, and the slingshot is back, and everybody watch out, world. Kate Lewis and her team is coming. That's the glasses I see it through.
Oh, so they have made a major commitment to branding and marketing their products. And Seventh Generation has a variety of products ranging from personal care and baby products to laundry detergents, multi-purpose cleaners.
They're big.
Again, you can
They're
find more.
Big.
Yeah, you can find more, find out more about them at their website. But the commitment that they have made is starting in September, they are branding and marketing specifically on their bio-based certification.
I would expect this
is going to increase awareness at a scale in which we just, you know, working for the government, having it be a government-backed initiative, we just don't have the direct-to-consumer influence that a company like theirs does.
It's going to be huge. And what I think you should do is put in a request for additional staff in the new budget. So go ahead.
So look for it. Your listeners should look for it. That wherever they see these types of products, look for the seal, because Seventh Generation has, you know, made a commitment to using the seal on their packages or on pack.
And buy their products. Buy their products. I mean, absolutely shamelessly, I'm going to say buy their products, because you have, I love that they're not publicly traded. I have to admit that, because they're not then going to be driven by earnings per share. I have nothing against publicly traded companies, but it makes it more difficult. They are privately held, and they're doing something like discovering a new surfactant, which is It is huge. It's not, there's no way to minimize that. It's a really important step forward for the planet. So, yeah, we can talk about Seventh Generation for the rest of the show if you want to, because it is one of those things.
Let's talk about another company, since you graciously have afforded me the chance to do that. A company in California called Biosolar. Most of your listeners probably have never heard of this company. They're B2B, they're business to business. So the products that they make are sold to other businesses or organizations. And they developed, through some pretty rigorous, research, a solar panel backsheet. It's an overlay of film that lays behind PV panels or solar panels. And this traditional backsheet was, you guessed it, made from petroleum, and they've re-engineered
it. It's everywhere.
It's in everything. Figured out a way to make a very similar, if not exact, same product that provides those properties, and to do it with a product that contains 95% bio-based materials or bio-based content.
And to me, solar, you know, there's a lot of these slippery slopes in things that are ultimately good for the planet, but sometimes in the manufacturing of them, you just have to acknowledge it's still dirty business. And I, of course, live in one of the solar capitals of the world. I just took a solar tour to learn even more about what's going on here in the Southwest, where every once in a while you wish the sun did not shine. Those words can come out of my mouth, but it's going to be in the 80s again here in late October. But the more widespread and larger scale use of solar is so critical to, yet again, that step of far less dependency on foreign oil. But if you have a product that you're manufacturing that requires using it, it's almost counterintuitive. And this, to me, is a very exciting discovery that people in solar, I believe, will care about.
Yeah, their clients or their buyers are manufacturers of solar modules.
Right.
And you know, Biosolar's actually estimated that using their Biosolar backsheets can substantially reduce the cost of, you know, a PV module over traditional backsheet materials of similar properties. So here's an opportunity for their buyers to invest in this technology and actually have the technology contribute to the overall price competitiveness of the entire unit. And that's just a win-win.
That's really a financial and environmental win-win. Yes. So we have seventh generation getting to the consumer. We have the B2B at Biosolar. You talked about the Ability One Network, which I've never heard of. And of course, I'm going to go down the rabbit hole and Google it. But let's, if we can, and you know that I never put anybody on the spot and don't get worried. To me, one of the most interesting things you brought up is that this program started over 10 years ago. And it was part of the Farm Bill. I did get that in your information. And to me, do you know anything about the history of it? Because I almost feel, and I don't want to be jaded, because things are so political in terms of getting bills passed. I understand that. I've been on the Hill in other jobs. And how did they slip it in? Because it is small but mighty. I'm just going to be watching this, you know, the meteor going wild with the whole help of seventh generation and others. But how did... Who was the visionary? Do you have any idea about that, Kate?
Well, I'm certainly not going to say it was me.
you're too young.
It was far before, you're very kind. It was far before my arrival at USDA. You know, Mrs. Green, I am a program manager. I'm a marketer. I'm an aggregator. I put ideas like this program together with people and institutions and make them work. But since I've been at USDA, and it's been about 3 years now, I've had to become much more of a legislative scholar.
Right.
Because I really don't know a lot, despite the fact that I work for the federal government. I don't know a lot about the legislative process. And the Farm Bill, as you said, it's a huge piece of policy that funds a tremendous amount of the Department of Agriculture.
They pack a lot in that bill.
They do, and this program is in one section of the bill. You know, it's a huge bill, and it's organized by sections, and it's in the energy section. And it was a very small but mighty. That's a great reference.
It's true.
I really don't know if the impetus for an incentive program like this came from Congress and USDA led, or if it came from industry. But you know what? I will research it, and we can go down that rabbit hole the next time
The next show, because I'm sure you'll have another big announcement, and I love having you on the show, so we're all good about that. Okay, Kate, I understand totally, and I'm sure all of my listeners understand, when someone like Seventh Generation steps up, and that seal is going to be out there, the news is going to be out there, it could potentially create a tipping point. But prior to that, how did all of these companies and the 800 plus products, what was the most effective way of them finding you? How do you get the word out so that companies are even aware of it?
Because
other than, of course, on Mrs. Green's world.
Yeah. Thank goodness for Mrs. Green. Honestly, the way that I think most of the information in terms of consumer awareness from our program is really driven from our Twitter handle, which is @BioPreferred,
awesome.
And our website, which is biopreferred.gov.
Twitter, I love that you answered that. We'll be retweeting. Okay.
Thank you. And most of the leads that come in from manufacturers across these product categories. Again, I mentioned earlier, we've really done research and partnered with industry organizations and nonprofit organizations who have a impetus to bring information like this to their members. And we go and we talk with them. We do webinars. We speak at their conferences. So it's been a little mix of traditional media and new media that we've used to get the word out about this, because we do not have an ad budget. There will be no TV commercials. There will be no YouTube videos. That, you know, not yet. There will be no paid media, you know, for
right,
the outreach
right.
and awareness for either the program in general or the the certification and label. And that's why I know you and your listeners have heard me say it before this past hour, but that's why I'm very grateful to the organizations and companies we work with, because our progress is kind of coming, we're riding their coattails to
measured some extent. By them, and it's just, you're doing such an amazing job. And unfortunately, all good things must end someday, even this show, but it's not the final chapter. I do want to thank you again for being a part of it. We'll be up on the website. Next week, Eric Sinaway, author of Howard's Gift, a book taking the United States by storm and being compared to Tuesdays with Maury. We have on the 30th, A Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, with one of my favorite people in the world, Terry D. from the Habit Store. So hope you'll plan to join me. Kate, make it a great green week. Thanks, everybody.